Hey man, got the dub, CB who? Bruh. It's so nice to start off the podcast talking and being excited about a W. Hallelujah.
This game deserved its own episode.
100%. 100%. Well, welcome, guys, for a late night edition of Pardon Me, Alex. It's 9:30 at night on a clear East Texas night. We're here to talk about the CBU game, and I realized that in the title I just put Jack's CBU, that I didn't put the at sign in the title of the podcast, and that's my bad. I was just so excited to talk about it. I was typing really quickly. So, man, we might as well just go right into it. I do have one quick programming note. I guess it's not really a programming note, but I do need to give a quick shout out to, I will say the two announcers for CBU were very good. They're super knowledgeable. They were super fair. And Braden Bell, shout out to you. You're a fantastic announcer for CBU and also a great follow on Twitter. So just wanted to give that quick shout out, give flowers to them, because sometimes, you know, when we're watching games on ESPN, man, oh man, sometimes these announcers are just hard to listen to. It's like nails on a chalkboard, or it's just snooze fest to Central. The two guys from CBU are pretty darn good, I will say.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same, because sometimes it is rough, and they were really good. Very like non-biased on talking about both teams, and it was obvious that they really did their homework and
super knowledgeable
background info on us and our players, and like our flowers where they were due. So it was enjoyable.
Agreed. But sometimes it's like I said, it is hard to rewatch these games knowing exactly the type of announcing that we're gonna get. Sometimes I have to mute it because I don't know what else to do, but again, they are super knowledgeable, and two thumbs way, way up for Braden and his partner. He just kept calling him a coach. I don't remember his first name, but
I missed the name too, but he was the coach at some point somewhere.
Yeah, so I loved it. It was great. Anywho, but that was my one little programming note. I'm sure you may have Robisms, but we can always wait for those if need be.
Well, I don't for this one because this is the one that I completely missed live. Because sorry, guys, y'all. I mean, I know I keep saying it. These games are so hard for me, and so since the one before, I fell asleep before it was over. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just lay down at like 8. Set my alarm for 8:40. I'm just gonna take a little power nap, and I'm the worst at power naps because then if it's that late in the night, because then I'm just like, nah. And my alarm went off, and instead of snoozing it, I just completely turned it off and then woke up at like midnight on my couch and was like, whoops. But we got a win, so I got no Robisms on this game.
I totally forgot. I couldn't remember if it was this game or the GCU game that it happened with, because, man, I was at the brewery watching the game. We had closed, and I was literally just sitting there with Jack and I, and Tori was with us for a little bit, but then she left to go check on Stanley. But anyway, so we're sitting there at the brewery, and man, I'm talking, we're chit-chatting with our little basketball groups that we have on text message. And Jacqueline's just like nowhere to be found, not responding, nowhere to be found. And eventually I was just realized, I was like, I bet you this SOB fell asleep. You did.
I was on my couch, like,
and of course, of all the games of this road trip that you fall asleep to, you fall asleep to the win. Maybe that was the secret sauce. Maybe you should have slept through the GCU game too.
Well, I fell asleep before it was over, but I don't think that would have helped us either way.
No, it wouldn't have, but I just want to, you know, put it out there as
potential. I was thinking that, and then I was like, should I just slip? But I was like, I don't think that's going to help outweigh the scales on this one, so.
Props not, but it was a nice sentiment, I think.
I did consider it, but then I fell asleep halfway through the second half anyway. And then when I woke up, I'm not gonna finish the rest of this
one. Oh, God bless. All right, man. I
have great Robisms for that one. So y'all just stay tuned.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Got some good ones. Okay.
Got it. All right, let's go.
Get started on this game. This podcast episode is over Thursday night's game, February 29th, leap year day, at CBU Event Center in Riverside, California.
Mm-hmm.
So background info on our rival. And was this Jelani's birthday, or was the day before was Jelani's birthday?
It was the day before, yeah. But it was just a very like good combination of events, because it was his birthday, kind of celebration, weekend days. His birthday was the day before. He was going back to his previous school. Yeah. Playing against his previous teammates. So it was just a good kind of like mixture of situational.
Yeah. So perfect birthday win for Jelani.
Yeah, absolutely.
We already told you happy birthday, but this is a for real happy birthday again.
Yeah. We love that boy.
So background history going into this game, we had 2 wins and 1 loss in our matchup history against CBU. The last matchup was at the end of January at home. We lost by 2 points. And like I said, we only had 2 wins before this game with them. So the largest was 80-58. That was February of last year. The smallest was 81-77. And we are going to hold on the WAC standings, resume seedings update for tomorrow night's episode. And we'll deep dive into that. So,
yeah. One quick thing. Man, I just lost it in my head. I had it and then I lost it. Crap. Yeah, it's gone. It'll come back maybe. I was just about to make a comment. Oh, no. Okay, I was going to say that I really truly think CBU this year was like the first year that we were evenly matched as opponents. The past couple years, it was kind of obviously uneven, and they had their issues and troubles in the past, and but I think this is the first year that, well, obviously, I mean, that we're both very equally matched as a team. I mean, this game was an absolute dogfight to the bitter end. Shouldn't have been, but it was. Yeah. But it was still a very fun game to watch, I will say.
Yeah, it was. So going into this game, our starters, we had Trell, Jalil, Frank, Matt, and Nana. We did win 62-60 in overtime.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Their attendance was 2,111. Sean Kennedy's stat section.
Get her done.
Our field goal percentage, not the best. 37.7.
Yikes.
But they were right there with us, because theirs was 35.2.
Yep.
Our 3-point percentage was 36.4. I mean, it's really something when your 3-point percentage is almost higher than your field goal. But anywho, beggars users, and those are the more high value buckets. So there you are. Free throw percentage, absolutely abysmal. At 48%.
Gross. Here's the thing. 100%. I'm not going to be an a-hole, but 100%. If we would have hit our free throws, we would have won that game in regulation. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, yeah.
But we just had to make it dramatic, didn't we? It's fine. I didn't want to go to bed at, you know, an early time.
At a decent hour before midnight.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's probably the lowest our free throws have been all season, but
we've been struggling.
Yeah, no bueno. Points in the paint was decent, 32. Our points off turnovers, we had 15. Second chance points, 10. Fast break points, we had 12. Bench points, we only had 10, which I feel like is low for us this season. But again, we don't have as many guys to pull off the bench with recent injuries. So there you have that. Total rebounds, we did have 36. They did out rebound us by 10. We had four 14 offensive boards and 22 defensive boards. We had 21 fouls, 8 turnovers. Like that a lot. Single digit turnovers is always a turn on. That one just came to me right in the moment. I don't know how I've never said that before, but.
Well, you did now. So
it's
out there.
Yeah. Their turnovers, they had 17. We had 11 steals and 2 blocks, which might I point out, they only have 1 steal. Our game leaders, we had Trell was the high point with 22 points, 5 steals, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He had everything but a block. We had Jalil with 16 points and 6 rebounds. So I do have to say for my player of the game, I kind of had to split it a little bit because really first half, Jalil was player of the game. He was ice cold. He was keeping us on the board. Second half, Trell was our Lord and Savior, keeping us in this ball game, taking all kinds of punishment and pain. So I'll get
into. I'm glad you said that. I wholeheartedly agree with your assessment. I think I wasn't going to necessarily split it up into halves, but like, I think honestly, those two guys, they were, and that's what I wrote on my notes for keys to the win, like Trell 100% player of the game. And so was Jalil. They were both dogs in this game. They kept us in it. They put their body on the line for us. They were the two players who truly, truly, truly stepped up and really came through for the win. I mean, I can't say enough about those two for this game, but obviously there were other spectacular performances by a bunch of other guys on the team that got us the dub. I have a whole laundry list of notes. So whenever we're ready to go into the feats of strength, I'm ready.
Yeah, so my first just general feat of strength. We started off great offensively and defensively. Both
like our ass was on fire.
I'm like, why can't we start every game like this? We got Jalil with the first score. Then we got a first turnover very next possession. I mean, we were just firing on all cylinders. We were scoring. Our defense was
all of it.
Wild.
All of it. I mean, we started off an 8-0 start. Literally, it wasn't until 4 minutes into the game when CBU actually first got their first basket.
And I was like, man, doesn't it suck to feel like that since we felt like that?
We've 100%. Like, we've been there, so we get it. But it was just so nice and refreshing to have such a wonderful start to the game. Man, oh, man, it was great. And, I mean, again, this is where I give my tip-off hats to the two announcers because they had a lot. They were peppering in a lot of really good information in there that I made sure I made notes about it as well. So as we go through, I'll talk about them. But man, we were pressing the ball early, which we haven't done in a while as well. I have more notes about defense, but I'll relay it back to Jacqueline for any of her additional comments about specific people. Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Jalil since okay. He wild the first half.
Two-handed slam right in the beginning. A three-pointer.
A pump fake and then take it to the hoop on the dribble.
Boy.
He was doing it all. He was like, I will post up. I will drive off the dribble. I will shoot from the three-pointer. I will do whatever.
Literally
all of it.
And I think throughout the majority of this game as well, he was also struggling with some cramping. He was struggling with a little bit of a limp because throughout the majority of this game, after every time he came out where there was a dead ball or something, he had a little bit of a gait. And I was like, boy, either he's cramping hardcore or he tweaked something, but he put his body on the line. And again, the announcers, shout out to them. They kept comparing him to Joel Embiid. And I was like, this is such a great comparison.
I got that too. I thought that was great.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't say enough about Jalil. The only obviously negative, which I'll get to, we'll get to later, was he was putting his body on the line 100% in that first half, and of course a little bit in the second half, but holy moly, moved to the baskets, just stuff that we've seen him do all season, and loved it.
Same.
Who's next?
Second half. Okay. We say it every game, but like he can really do it all. He gets kind of typecast, for lack of a better term, as the 3-point shooter, but he can handle the ball. He can set up the offense. He can score off the dribble. He can pull up, pump fake, shoot wherever. I mean, the layups that he makes are insane.
And you're right. We do say this every single podcast, win or lose, it doesn't matter. Trell is doing things like this. And I think it's just different for us this year, because last year, all we used to see him do was just shoot threes, pull up J's. And that was really it, because he was struggling almost all season with like groin injury, a couple pulled muscle injury stuff. So we really didn't get to see the full Trell capabilities, where now this season, healthy Trell, he's coming in out of nowhere, coming in, laying the ball up. He's just all over the place. And I think it's just different because, again, we're just so used to him just hitting threes, which he still does. I mean, he still does that. But now he's just so much more versatile. And add on to the fact that now he's having to take over point duties because of AJ not being in the game. I mean, we're putting a lot of responsibility and pressure on this kid. And
extra kudos to the announcers for mentioning that multiple times.
Yes.
It really is. But like, thankfully, I mean, he has just blossomed under this like pressure and is showing a whole new range that,
right,
I mean, to say that we didn't think he had it. We just didn't have to see him do it because he didn't have to bring the ball down, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree. I mean, I can't with this kid. I just have so much love for him. And anytime I see him happy and smiling on the court, it just makes me happy and smiling. I mean, multiple times the camera cut to him and he was just cutting up, having a good time. And I love when I see that from Trell. He had a move to the basket. It was disgusting. It was like a shortstop, spin, layup. This was part of one of our 11-1 runs, and it was disgusting. I literally had to pause and rewind it back just to see it again. It was monstrous.
My favorite one this game was when, I mean, it was wild, and even the commentators were like, that was amazing, because he had to break left-handed, and it's hard if you're, you know, a right-handed, because some people can like shoot left-handed and right-handed,
right?
But whether you can or not, it's still really difficult to go to your left dribbling and then pull up and shoot with right or left hand and not get blocked. And he goes left, jump stops, pulls up, banks it. Then, I mean, just every difficult thing he could have done possible, he did all of them in one.
And he's just so smooth. He's just so smooth. You know what I mean? Like, insane. The last second 2-pointer at the end of the first half, right at the buzzer. I mean, he's so clutch. It's nuts. Let's see here.
The announcers mentioned that he's 11th best in college basketball in free throws.
Yes. Okay. I made that note. I also made the note that they mentioned that he's leading the conference in 3-point percentage, but that was on Thursday night. I don't know if anything has changed since then. I'd have to go and look. I'll report on that tomorrow. I have the stats pulled up, so I'll look through and scour through them tomorrow before tomorrow's podcast. Let's see. Trell, I mean, oh, for fuck's sake. When he hit the brakes, this is right before overtime. So it's right knee deep into the second half of the game. He hit the brakes so hard on a play on, he's bringing the ball in, stops short of the paint, hits the brakes and just whoop, nice little floater, Jay. Oh.
And he took a beating this game, like a beating. I mean, I bet they had him in an ice bath the next day because.
I hope so, because you're right. He had five steals.
He took a huge charge. There were multiple times that he just got creamed going up and no whistle, but I'll get to that on the grievances. I mean,
creamed.
He really took it all this game.
He did. And there were so many instances where this is where the five steals come into play. I mean, he's playing hard defense, the press, the trap right there at half court. My God. And most of those five steals came right there, right there. And he caused a lot of turnovers at that moment right there at the trap at the half court line, which obviously ended up for some points on our end. We had Jacqueline mentioned it. We had 15 points off the turnover. That's definitely up from the previous game. It's not a ton, but it's definitely up from the previous game, which I like to see too. So good job, Trail. We had 11 steals, man. 11 steals. I love that number, honestly. Anytime our steals are more than our turnovers,
yeah,
I am ecstatic. I think this might be one of the lowest turnover games we've had all season.
It might be
the lowest. Yeah. I'd have to go back and look, which I can do while Jacqueline's on her next person, but insane.
Yeah, he played a great game. Let's see. Gosh. Okay. Let's chat about Matt for a second, man. He was playing great. Like the combination of Trell and Matt on the trap this game is what really took their defense and getting those steals. Matt was credited two steals, but there were several that it was like a joint effort, to force it. I noted this one because it was amazing. He got a great rebound and was completely knocked on his ass and did not travel and was getting absolutely swarmed.
He was just like
acid from sitting on his butt and not travel. Let's see.
So I just checked, and yes, so we had a couple games where our turnovers were at the single digit mark at nines. This is the only game. This is the lowest game with eight of the season.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they deserve a win just for that alone. Now if we can just do that and shoot better in the same game.
Yeah. I mean, we almost had, they had double the turnovers we did.
Cause we didn't turn the ball over. We just didn't shoot well.
Yeah. That's really honestly it. I mean, in the first half, we caused 11 turnovers. Yeah. So, I mean, that was the other thing, though. That's just the only – and, well, I'll save that for the next part. But anyway, not the only thing. But, okay, go ahead.
Let's see. Oh, the announcers also did mention that we are sixth in all of college basketball for bench points. Can't talk today.
Yes. I made the note of that, too. I was like, my God, they're just coming at it with, like –
they were so prepared. Love to see it.
So prepared.
Gave some little like background info on Nana. Of course, they talked about Jelani since he played there.
Right.
So yeah, great all the way around. Let's see.
Let's talk about Lonnie real quick because this was his comeback game to CBU, and I will give it to him. Yes, he didn't play a lot of minutes. He only played nine, but the 9 minutes he was in, man, he was down there working hard in the paint. Literally, it was him versus who was their big guy?
Quidrago.
Quidrago. Literally, yeah, down there, absolute dogfight in the paint between them each and every time. There was a couple moments. One, Jelani got the ball, missed the first shot, got the put back. I mean, he like quadruple sextuplet, whatever, triple times 10, clutched it and still got the bucket. Didn't get the foul, but got the bucket. And I just, I love, 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 capital L, when we can get the put back. You get your own rebound and you get the put back and you don't give up on it. God, I love that. It gets me fired up.
Yes, a great back is great. And yeah, I mean, listen, Jelani was getting his ass busted all night too, playing against that huge dude, because I'll save it for the grievances, but they were not wanting to blow that whistle.
No.
For anything happening in the paint. So he's probably in an ice bath the next day too.
Well, probably so. I mean, poor guy, literally, like you said, I mean, for the 9 minutes he was in, I would say about 8 of those minutes, he was down there in the trenches, literally big dude versus big dude down there, just fighting for it. So shout out to him for putting his body on the line as well. Insane.
Rough one.
All right, who's next?
Okay, Frank also had a great game. I've been happy to see him starting. That's exciting.
Yes.
He's been bringing it. He had a great – well, they didn't – oh, yeah, they didn't credit it to him, but I swear he got a block, but whatever.
I thought – you know, they may have given it to Nana, but, yeah, he was in there. I know it's the sequence you're talking about.
Yeah, he got – I would have counted it to him because he blocked it and then got that fast break to Jahlil for that slam. And he got two really big, well-timed threes where we, like, really needed them. He hit them.
Yes, he did. He did. Legitimately.
Line, Frank.
Yeah, I mean, right after the half – you know, when CBU really started putting the gas on, early Washington hit a three, and then Frank responded right back with a three. That was so clutch and critical, because if we would have just let them, Washington, continue to hit those threes, we probably wouldn't have had such a spark and kept up with them. There was no point where the game was out of reach. We kept it to, like, you know, a 2 or 3 or 4 point deficit whenever CBU started coming back into the game, which again never should have, but we'll save that. Anyway, but yeah, my God, that clutch Frank three in overtime helped seal the deal.
Yeah, most definitely. Let's see,
you know what else sealed the deal? CC.
Yeah, that was going to be my last note. See, okay, he had a great fast break. Their cameraman could not even keep up. Like, it was out of the frame, almost missed seeing it. And he was 100% on his free throws, so yay for that, because we needed all the help we could get there. And then put back for the win. So
he
can be the MVP of overtime.
Yeah, there you go. But legit, oh my God, but what a clutch three from Frank. And then right after that, boom, a clutch rebound and put back from CeCe. But he's been doing that all year, so it didn't surprise me. But the fact that it was so, obviously it sealed the win, but it was just, it was so smooth and clutch. It was just like no pressure whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was just another day.
It looked totally effortless. It did not look like he was panicked, or it was like, oh my God, thank God that went in.
Right. I mean, it was just like, that's a normal day for CeCe, getting a rebound and put back, literally elbowing and pushing his way in there and just completely rebounding the ball over all of the big guys, and just got the rebound and got the put back. What a freaking mammoth effort, honestly.
I agree. And CeCe's always great on the rebounds. We always talk about, I mean, literally in the words of my dad, he always loves to say he can jump out of the gym. I mean, CeCe always comes flying out of nowhere. Like
nowhere.
He definitely can jump higher than anyone on our team. Not that he's the tallest, but I bet he can jump like higher. Anyway, I mean,
he has hops. That's all I got to say. He has hops.
My last little note, Clayton had a great pick and roll score off of an assist from Frank, and he really should have had like two more buckets, but I'll address that in the grievances.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because I, yeah, as well. Let's see. And I even wrote down nice block Nana at the end of the game. And I think that's the one you're talking about with Frank as well. I think they both each, because he went up with the ball a couple times. And I think Nana blocked it once and Frank blocked it once. But they didn't credit him with it.
Like in the first half.
There was another one? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there was one where at the end of the game, it was Nana, Frank, and one other person. It was either Jelani or Jaleel down there in the paint blocking shots one after another. And then, of course, there was a foul in there. But they did credit Nana, I think, with that one block. But it should have been both of them. But whatever. If it wouldn't have been a foul, it would have been. See if I had anything else. Bless you.
Sorry, guys. I would have muted if I had more of a...
You're good. Okay, we're ready to go.
Yeah, that's all of my strengths. You don't have any more?
No. That was all for me.
Sorry, I'm trying to recover here. All right, y'all know what's coming next.
You're good, babe.
With you bring up grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're gonna hear about it.
All right. Oh man. Okay, my first grievance. Udrago traveled so many times in the first 3 minutes of the game and no whistle.
I know.
And then these refs are going to jip Clayton off to his buckets.
I think
he's traveling. I'm like, where was that whistle when 24 was literally like walking all over the court?
Yeah, and it was twice in a row too that Clayton got called for it. So it just it was just so much more of a gut punch too. But you're right. There weren't a lot of whistles there on our boy Drago.
I bet you they called no travels on them. Like I really don't remember them calling a travel on CBU, and I bet you half of our 8 turnovers were travels. Because I know they called a travel on Clayton. I can't remember if they called it on both of those times.
They said when at the very beginning of the game, right after the 8-0 start, they said Clayton traveled twice.
Okay. I know they called one on Jaleel or maybe two on Jaleel. I guarantee you half of our turnovers were travels. And
I agree.
I'm like, where's that on the other end? Because I counted at least like 5 off of just Udrago and multiple other people traveled many, many times and they never called it. But
yeah,
digress.
I digress as well. No, you're right. Obviously one of my biggest, I have a couple biggest grievances is just the free throws. Like I said it earlier in the game, we most definitely, I'm not going to say 100% because nothing's ever 100%. Most definitely 99.999% would have won this game in regulation if we would have just hit our free throws. I mean, that was just rough with the free throws, man. And in the words of Mr. Whitaker, they're free, baby.
Yeah, no, literally, we left 13 free throws on the table.
Yes.
And that's just off of opportunities. I guarantee you some of those were missed on the front end of a 1-on-1. So we could have even gotten more easily. I had one more gripe on the refs. I'm sorry. I feel like they were just letting it get a little too rough down low and like not calling anything. But then the second half starts and it's like one of those where you can tell they probably got bitched out by CBU's coach. And so then they come out all of a sudden and get foul happy on us. Mm. Like blowing the whistle on the smallest little thing. And then we've got like Nana and Jaleel and Trell just taking a freaking beating in the lane. And like, nothing.
I feel like every time I looked up to the game after a whistle, Nana, Trell, or Jaleel were on the ground. They were on the court. And I'm like, you mean to tell me at no point there was a foul in there? G- give me a break, man.
And even their announcers made a comment once or twice about the calls just not being consistent.
Yeah.
Which is the main complaint, because I mean, there is a lot of gray area to how referees call games, but you expect it to at least be consistent within the same game. You know, from game to game, you have a different crew. They might call it a little bit differently depending on who you're playing, whatever, XYZ, there's a ton of factors. But like, at least within the same game, you would expect like some level of continuity of what they consider a foul.
Yeah.
And, like, you can just hack away on somebody trying to shoot and no whistle, and then they're gonna call like the smallest little bump. It's just very frustrating.
No, I agree. I think the one thing that has been consistent all season is that the refs have been inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we can always rely on, is that every single game the reffing will be completely wild. And you're right, it will start off very evenly called game. In the first half, very evenly called game. Second half, it's like they go into the ref locker room and they're just like, okay, guys, we've like been taking it.
Halftime pep talk.
They do. They're like, okay, guys, we've been taking it too easy on the Lumberjacks or whoever it is that we're playing, or who, it doesn't matter. Both sides. It's not consistent on either side. And it's just like, we got to call more on the outside, but pay zip attention to the paint. You know, it's just wild. It's like a completely different reffing crew comes out in the second half than was out in the first half. And all we ask is consistency within the game. I don't ask for special favors and no calls. Like, if someone fouls, they foul. That's just facts. You know, if they travel, they travel. Yeah. We're not asking for freebies here. We're just asking for consistency. And for when somebody gets fouled hard to the ground, that they get called on either side, you know?
Oh my God, my sinuses are about to kill me right now.
Well, you were outside all day doing yard work, madam. So I'm sure something stirred up in there.
Probably didn't help my situation.
No, it didn't. I mean, case in point, end of the game, Trell goes for the ball, it goes out of bounds, and he gets fouled onto the floor, lands on his shoulder. I don't think it was intentional by any means from Washington. I don't, but there was a lot of contact there.
I don't know. They played the replay on that one, and I think it was like, it was almost more because he didn't even really get fouled there. Like, I think it was more just everyone kind of bumped into each other, because I think there was actually more contact between Trell and whoever on our team was right there. I can't remember, but.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The one I will say a really nice thing in regards to Scotty Washington here, because first of all, that dude is like stone cold.
He's stone cold. He's hella good.
So good. I would love to have him on our team.
Oh, God, yeah.
One of the few players I can watch on another team who's great and not be like, I hate him.
I agree. Because he's
good.
And he's just good, and he doesn't really like showboat a lot.
He doesn't showboat. He doesn't gripe with the refs. He doesn't.
No. He just goes out and just stone cold shoots the ball and fucking makes it every time.
Chat to our dude. And like, he seems like a really nice guy, because there was one time the camera zoomed in on him and Trell, and you could see they were both talking, and you could see Trell was like smiling and laughing. So it was obviously like all cool between them. And that play at the end where Trell fell, after he fell, like, normally a dude in Scotty's position in that play right there, the whistle gets blown, would be like, what, you know, like immediately griping, thinking that they were going to get the foul called on them. But like, you could see as soon as they blew the whistle, he just like reached his hand out and had his hand on Trell, like to make sure he was okay. He wasn't even trying to like see.
He wasn't.
Paul was.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't. Not at all. Yeah.
That was like a big check mark in my book. He seems like a nice guy.
I agree. I mean, I just have a soft spot for Trail. So anytime he lands on the court hard and there's another guy involved, I'm like, all right, where's the call? But I get it. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't intentional. I don't even think it was a hard foul or it even was a foul at all. I was just like, come on. Because I would have been real pissed if he'd have got hurt. That's the main thing.
Yeah. No, definitely.
You know what I mean?
He fell hard on the environment.
Other issue is, I'm sorry, I really think Matt Heyman got fouled at the very end of the regulation. His jersey was ripped in almost half.
Yeah, I agree. When you got a player have to do a jersey change, something happened.
Somebody fouled him somewhere because I could fit my whole head into the hole that was in his jersey.
Like, that's just facts. That's hard, cold evidence. Something happened here.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been watching enough murder docs lately. We got evidence here.
We have empirical support and data that he got fouled somewhere.
That is not circumstantial evidence. That is hard, cold evidence.
Hard, cold evidence that he was fouled. Again, you don't just get a rip in your jersey for, you know. It doesn't
spontaneously combust.
No. God bless, man. It should have been a foul. It should have been, you know, a shooting foul, 2 points right there. Boom, boom, game over. But I digress. Shit, man. Again, shouldn't have let it get to that point, though. I mean, here's the thing. Blew another 16-point lead, babe.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was literally going to say, I only have 3 big grievances for us this game.
Yes.
Couldn't hit the broads out of a barn.
No.
That's
been a grievance in the past, like, 5 or 6 games, man.
I mean, this one was bad, though. Like, that's bad.
Easy shots that definitely should have went in.
The free throw game was embarrassing. Yeah. And God bless if we blow another 16-point lead. Like, why?
God. Like, it would be one. It wouldn't be a big of a deal if it was just like this was the first time this season. But holy shite. That's been like the entire second half of the season for us has been like, you're playing great the first like 20 minutes, 15 minutes of the game. You have a good 16 double digit lead, and then you just piss it away.
It's like
if
we can start off great, we will find a way to start digging a hole.
Fuck. That's the most frustrating part is I'm like, look at how well we're playing. Look at what we're doing. We can win games easily. You just gotta finish. God, that's just the worst. That's just the worst part. And Brayden honestly cracked me the F up because he, at one point he said, if you're an SFA fan, you gotta be thinking, oh no, not again.
I know. When he said that, I was like, too soon.
I typed it out, quoted it, and I said, thanks, Brayden. Thank you. You're right. Oh, no. Not again is right. I was too losing soon. My It hurts.
Triggered.
It hurts. Fudge. I mean, I'm not mad about it because it was so funny the way he said it. And I was like, you're not wrong, but shit. Man.
I did laugh out loud, though.
That hit right home. I mean, hit right in the heart, man. I know where one of our 8 turnovers came from, Jacqueline. When we turned the ball over on the inbounds throw. What are we doing?
That was a miscommunication between Matt and Nana, but because usually Matt play on the inbounds. I'm not gonna say who he is, but it's not Matt. But I think maybe he thought Nana was calling for the ball and he was not in a position to get that pass.
Yeah. Yeah. And
But then the worst part is Matt's the only one who made it all the way down to the other end to try to contest the fast break. I'm like, where's
that boy was quit, literally though. Farthest
away, and he's the one who made it all the way down there.
I know that boy quick though. He got legs.
And he was like, oh well, shit.
Yeah, I could see that going through his brain. I could see him being like, oh fuck. Just like taken off. Anyway. Obviously having Nana fell out of the game in overtime, not great. But at least he wasn't the only one that fouled out. On the other side, their Drogo.
Yeah, Udrago.
Udrago. Also fouled out as well. So it wasn't like it was a little bit of a tit for tat there. Two of the big guys fouled out. So didn't like it, but at least they also lost somebody as well. So
yeah,
there you go. There you go. And I was really nervous whenever Jahlil went down on the court, but I was like, he's just cramping. He's just cramping, man.
Yeah, as soon as he went down, I was like, oh, I bet he's cramping, because we know that he battles with that like chronically, basically. And
he does.
He had already pushed his body to the line in regulation, yes. Probably farther than it's gone in a while. And then we go to overtime. I mean,
right.
He was out of gas. He was.
I mean, there was multiple times in the game where he's pulling on his jersey like, bruh. I need to rest. I need to rest. And I don't blame him. It was a knockdown, drag out fight the entire time. And, you know, it happens. And we're going to have those games and these last two games at home that we'll preview tomorrow when we talk about the GCU game are going to be just the same way. Here's the thing. Small little preview. Everyone's going to try and ruin it for us. Everyone. One of the teams is definitely out of it. and they're going to try to do their absolute damnedest to make sure that we also are not in it. So there's that. And then the other team is on the cusp of being in and out. So they are also going to try and ruin it for us too, so that they can get in at a better seed. So it's just going to be a knockdown, drag out brawl. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But anyway, that was all I had for grievances.
Same here.
Cool. All right, Jack. So what's the one word?
Yes. YAS. Yes. Finally.
Oh, woo. Mine is woo. I love it. So mine's what I put in my little, thing down here under my name, CB who, has the, you know, the dash in there, the little hyphen that makes it one word. Yeah. Great, great game. In regards to the fact that we won. obviously not so great in other areas, but the fact that we won was a huge mood booster for us. It was great. Loved it. I wish we would have taken that and brought it to the GCU game. We did for a little while, but that one was going to be hard anyway, and we knew that. But anyway, so, and we'll talk about that one tomorrow. But yeah, needed that mood boost and gave the boys some confidence back and kept us in the hunt for WAC Vegas. That's the main thing. This was a game that both teams needed to win. You know what I mean? It was one of those games that CBU had also had a long losing streak coming into this game. We've also been struggling coming into this game. So both teams really, 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 really wanted and needed a win. So obviously it just stinks that one team has to win, one team has to lose. And thank God it was us that got the W and not the other way around. I don't even want to think about what would have happened if we didn't. But anyway, we won. We won. That's all that matters. We won. Man, oh man. But yeah, so obviously the next game after this was the GCU game, which we will discuss mañana, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, around the same time. that we logged on tonight around 9, 9:15, 30, kind of anywhere in between there. Just kind of depends on our schedules and, you know, if technology is
how the day goes and how the wind blows, you know.
You're just full of one-liners tonight.
I don't know. I'm on top of it today for some reason.
My God. It must have been all that outside yard work you were doing. Just, you know, fresh air, all of it.
I had to make up for not having any Robisms this game, I guess.
That's fair. You're doing, you're kind of channeling him with your one-liners.
Yeah. I'm going to take one for the team on this one and have to fill in.
That's fair. I'm sure he'll give up the crown, the mantle for one game.
Man, yeah. I have some golden ones for y'all tomorrow.
Oh God, I can't wait. I literally can't. I mean, I don't want to talk about the game, but I can't wait for the Robisms.
They're great.
Can't wait. So it's officially 9 days till we leave for WAC Vegas. Are you excited? Are you ready?
I have it seems like it's sneaking up so quickly that not ready. I have not planned outfits. I still got to figure out all this last minute stuff.
I haven't done anything.
Not prepared at all.
I feel like this year, out of all the years, it feels like it's coming up way quicker than normal. But yet this year it's a little bit later than, not later, but it kind of feels like it's a little bit later than normal.
I don't know.
We have 9 days. That's all I know. I'm so glad that I have this damn countdown on my phone because it's helping me get my life together. Because when I looked down today and I saw single digits and not double digits, I had a momentary panic attack. And I was like, oh shit, I have so much to do. I need to get my hair done. Typical girl stuff. Hair, nails. Pack, plan outfits. These are days I wish I could care less about my appearance and just threw shit in a duffel bag.
One of these might be there. Listen, when I'm at home, y'all don't even know. I showered before we did this today, and that's the best that I could do, which y'all don't even care. You can't smell that I just showered, but
oh my God. And the only reason I have any sort of semblance of makeup on is because I went to work. That was it.
If I'm not going in the office, nothing's happening.
And it's the end of the day, so 95% of it's gone. So there you are.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. My hair is in need of some assistance. It'll get some assistance on Friday. So, but anyway, we're just excited to see our friends. We're excited to hang out in Vegas and cheer on the Lady Jacks. And fingers crossed, pending all good things happening, the Lumberjacks as well. And just having a good time. Every time we go to Vegas, we have a good time. We enjoy ourselves. Sometimes we, go a little crazy, and sometimes we don't. Maybe it's one night out of the whole 4 or 5 days that we're there. And that's enough, honestly. You can't do it every night.
If you're going to be in Vegas as long as we're there, you can't overdo it. It's a marathon.
It is a I was just about to say this. You're reading my mind. It is 100% a marathon. Typically, the ideal amount of time to spend in Vegas is about 3 days. A long weekend is the ideal amount of time to spend in Vegas. Any longer than 3 to 4 days, you're pushing it. So it is absolutely a marathon. I've already started adding stuff to our list of places to try to eat. This year we're staying on the Strip as we normally do, but we're staying on at Paris.
Maybe we'll see Lisa V again this year.
I know. That's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to stay there. So this is what we splurged a little bit and stayed at Paris this year. Last year, where were we at? Rio. So we were off Strip last year. First year we were Strip. Last year off Strip. This year back on Strip. Right in the thick of it. Right in the mix of it. I just I don't know. I feel like that's easier because then you could just walk everywhere. You don't have to Uber as much because you're right there. You can walk. Now, obviously, if you want to go to the games or if you want to go someplace out, you know, further down the strip, it's just easier to Uber. But, you know, there's so many cool hotels and casinos and restaurants and things to do within like a couple blocks of where we're staying that it's just easier to walk. It's just easier that way. But anyway, we're excited. I love Vegas. It's just, I don't know. There's just something ingrained in my DNA that I just, it's like my playground. I love it. I don't even gamble that much. I bring a set amount of money and once it's gone, it's gone. Like, and I just like going, I just like the sights and the majesty of it all. Like, it's just cool. It's just cool. That's about,
vibe.
It's just a vibe. Yeah. Even if we go to like a club one time, that's all I need is like one night of a club. And then the rest of the time I'm just chilling. That's it.
I'm ready for the food.
Oh my God. That's the best part. That's the best part.
That's my favorite part.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love the vibes, but the food. Woo! There's a couple good places in our hotel too. We don't have to go far.
Can't wait.
I know. All right, sweet. So that's it for us tonight. Of course, a few reminders. Obviously, the next home game, we'll remind you tomorrow as well, but the next home game is on Thursday. There's only two games left of the season. Two games left, and they're both at home. Thank God. So on Thursday and Saturday this week, so hopefully we will have a nice crowd out there for those two games, fingers crossed. But yeah, tomorrow night around 9 o'clock ish, we're going to come on and talk about the GCU game. Not in length or detail. Hopefully it'll be really quick. Probably the longest part will be us talking about the if, ands, and potentials of WAC Vegas, scenarios and things like that. And, just kind of wrapping up the season, getting ready for these last two home games. So, yeah, couple reminders. Other than that is, of course, go to support the Sawmill Six Man NIL Collective. It's scrolling across the bottom of your screen right now. If you go to sawmillsixman.com, you can help support the Lumberjack basketball team specifically at this website. And you can give as little as $5 a month or as much as $100 a month plus. It's very easy to support the Lumberjacks that way. It's great for any level of budget. And so highly recommend doing that whenever you can. And then the other reminder is, of course, for My Plates, easy, fun way to support the SFA Athletics as well. And it's a cool way to pimp your ride. Pimp your ride with SFA My Plates. I keep seeing new My Plate. So I don't know if it's us making the difference. I'm going to say it's us. Because every time I'm driving to work, I keep seeing different and new purple SFA My Plates.
And remember I texted you about the personalized one I saw the other day?
Yeah. Yes.
It was like, pardon me. And I'm like, who is this? Are they copying us?
They're copying us. Yeah. No, I remember that. Yes. Very cool. I'm hoping more people are getting into the My Plates bandwagon here because it's just really cool. So if you want to go check out My Plates, there are 1 year, 3 year, 5 year subscriptions. You can either get a background only. Obviously, that's the cheapest way. If you want to go 1 year background only, I think that's only going to cost you like maybe $50 a year, $100 a year, like super cheap. But if you want to go full out, full tilt background plus personalization for 5 years or a year, whatever, that's obviously going to be a little bit more money. But the cool thing is that you can 100% pay it off in installments. So you could do like a layaway option. You don't have to pay it all at one time. Because let's be honest, not everybody has $5 to $100 just kind of laying around in their budget. I know I don't. The only reason I do right now is because I worked my ass off the past like month and a half at the brewery to get extra money. Yeah, to get extra money to come to Vegas. So that's really the only reason why I have that much money in my account. But anyway, it's a great opportunity if you want to support SFA Lumberjacks because a portion of those sales go to SFA Athletics. So it'll be really fun, really cool. If you get yourself a My Plate and you can match Jacqueline and I.
All the cool kids.
That's right. That's right. Cool. All right. It's 10:30. It's time to go. We're hitting an hour right as we speak. So hope you guys have a wonderful night. And you'll join us again tomorrow night around this time-ish as we talk about the latest game versus GCU at GCU. Anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll rant about it. We will console each other and then move on.
We shall.
We shall. All right. Hope you all have a wonderful night. Jacqueline, I hope you have a wonderful night.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks, babes. And I will talk to you and everyone else tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. And as always, Ax and Jax.
With Alex and Jax. Ta-ta.
Later.